scaled form onto the plaza at his mistress's side. Lowering his head, he nudged at her gently, emitting a sound unnervingly similar to a purring kitten when she ran a hand over the spiny crest extending from the base of his nose to the nape of his neck. "Missed me, did you?" Orsenna asked the drake, laughing again when he opened his nostrils to let out twin puffs of grey smoke. "I missed you too." "Beg pardon, your ladyship," Lorweth inquired, "but if you could call the bugger to heel all this time, why didn't you? He might have been awful useful during that big battle we just fought." "The artisan is sometimes curiously protective of her creations," the ultra replied, "and wished to spare him the tribulations of war, as did I in all honesty. Besides, I wasn't at all sure it would work. He's been apart from me for so long." She gave the tip of Tempest's nose an affectionate tweak, then flourished the conjurer's blade, now once again glowing bright. "Best if you all stand back a good way," she advised. Gaim and the others retreated to the Silesium while she did her work. The rain resumed as she circled the drake, lowering the conjurer's blade and sweeping it around in a rapid, complex motion. As she did so, the cursed weapon cast a web of glowing energy over the rubble. The myriad fragments of marble rose, levitated by arcane power, to form a slowly rotating torus around Tempest. Stepping back, Orsenna gripped her sword with both hands and pointed it at the ensorcelled drake. Gaim was shocked to see the ultra trembling with the effort of holding the blade in position. If a being like her could be strained by such power, it must be considerable indeed, perhaps beyond anything she had conjured so far. Letting out a wordless shout, Orsenna released a final surge of energy. It erupted from the conjurer's blade to merge with the glowing ring of raised rubble. The scene was swallowed by a flare of light so intense it forced Gaim and the others to shield their eyes. When it faded, his gaze alighted first on Orsenna, now on her knees, slender form sagging with exhaustion as the rain once again beat down. Yet a far more arresting sight lay beyond her. Tempest was now transformed in both size and color. When first conjured into life, the drake had possessed the dimensions of a large winged horse. The beast that now angled its great head to direct a curious and perhaps threatening squint at Gaim was over 20 feet tall at the shoulder and at least twice as long. The wings were even more impressive, casting drenching gales across the plaza with only a few gentle sweeps. His emerald scales were darker in hue, shifting into a deep shade of crimson on the underside of his wings and belly. Letting out a rumble of concern, Tempest lowered his head to afford his mistress a gentle nudge. "Worry not, my dearest," she said, running a hand over his snout. Turning to her fellow travellers, she offered a shallow bow. "He should be able to carry us all to Valkyris now," she said, "although some ropes might be useful, so as to prevent us falling off." The considerable detritus left in the aftermath of the Rebel King's defeat yielded a haul of belts, harnesses, and reins suitable for their purposes. Whilst Princess Lintia's troops had been assiduous in consigning the slain to the grave pits, a large number of bodies still littered the city. They were almost all rebels, those maddened souls who had taken their own lives after the Rebel King's demise. As Gaim and the others rummaged amongst the dead, his gaze was drawn to Anselm. The young knight moved with a stiff, stern-faced purposefulness as he stopped to inspect the corpses, his movements that of a man compelled to overcome reluctance for a detestable act.
"Not reluctance, my liege," Lacharath observed. "Temptation. Shorn of your ghostly comrade's assistance, the boy finds it increasingly hard to resist the necromancer's enticements. I can hear him whispering, talking of forging these wretched cadavers into dire whites so that they might destroy his mortal companions. He will then slay the drake and raise it, making it a creature of his own will. Together they will fly to Valkyris to usurp the desecrator's design, seizing the Infernus Gate for themselves. With such power at his command, the necromancer will reign supreme in the Infernus, and finally begin his great mission to make this a world of the dead."
"Anselm is strong," Gaim muttered back. "I've seen him resist the demon once already."
"One swallow does not make a summer. Resolve is a finite quality in